I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on how truth lives. If you remember last week, we talked about how lies die. And today I want to talk to you about how truth lives. But before that, I want to remind you that this afternoon we have our teaching sessions, and Elder David O'Neill is going to speak this afternoon on the topic of tithing. And so if you want to give even more money than you give, you certainly don't want to miss that class. No, actually, he's going to help us to understand the wonderful benefits and blessings of giving, of making sure that people around you, people who are less fortunate, have an opportunity to be alleviated from the tensions of hunger and poverty so that they might be more able to hear and receive the gospel. Also, remind yourself that at 6 o'clock, we have a wonderful time where we share the good news. We have testimonies, we have glorious songs of worship, and a time where the word of the Lord is shared, so that if you invite someone to the service, whether they come physically or they are online with us, they get a clear delivery of the gospel truth and the means of salvation. Let's pray together in the house of the Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you that you have not left us orphans, that you are that one who walks with us, that no matter what the circumstances of life, we always have hope. We always are exposed to truth. We always recognize the path. We realize the way. Lord, you are that one who gives us not only direction, but you give us strength. You give us the energy, the empowerment necessary to maintain ourselves along this journey. Lord, we're asking you to glorify your name this morning and to help us to bless you in this life. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Carter sends his greetings, his love. He is resting, and it takes about a week or two for him to just kind of, you know, just, you know, calm down a little bit. And now he's just, by your prayers and by the grace of the Almighty God, he's refreshing. He's getting his strength. Pastor Teresa as well. So keep them in prayer. Just ask the Lord to constantly bless them. He'll be away for a couple of weeks and then back in the pulpit as always during this time of year. So please, please, please don't forget to pray. God, give him rest, give him strength. And of course, the Lord always strengthens his vision. By the time he comes back, he's ready to take us into the next leg of this race. So keep Pastor in prayer. In the meantime, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll just look at verses 1 through 7. How truth lives. Last week, we talked about how lies die, and we talked about it on two levels. We were looking at Esther, if you remember, and we pointed out that first, whatever lies she was believing about herself had to die. God had to whittle away at those lies until they were gone. And then once the lies that she was believing about herself were dead, then the lies that were perpetuating into society were able to be challenged. So likewise with you and me, as we begin to believe that what God said about us is true, then we can begin to impact this generation in the ways that we are supposed to. But the thing about doing that is when you and I begin to believe the truths that God speaks into our lives, and then we begin to perpetuate those truths outward so that we begin to impact society, then we can oftentimes come under criticism. We can engage at that time in the adversity of the enemy. We can begin to feel the pressure of choosing to be ourselves. We can begin to feel the pressure of choosing to believe what God says about us. And again, this kind of truth has a capacity to overrun itself. When you and I are believing the truth about ourselves and we begin to do the truth, we can sometimes overdo things to the point of exhaustion. We can get to the point where we are trying to do the right thing and we forget to eat. We forget to rest. We forget to refuel. And so what I want to talk to you today is, how does truth continue to live in me? Once truth has been brought about in me, and once truth begins to go forth from me, how does truth become sustained in me? So if you would look at the text, 1 Kings 19, beginning to read at verse 1 and reading down to verse 7. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Now, you remember what Elijah had done. Elijah seized a truth from the Lord, and he began to act on that truth. And he began to act on that truth in the context of all kinds of deception and all kinds of challenges. He challenged the prophets of Baal, who had been perpetuating lies. And he came with the truth of God's great love for Israel. And he began to cry out to God and basically said, Lord, if what I'm saying is true, bear witness to it in this particular moment. And of course, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the offering that Elijah had put forth, respected and regarded the altar that Elijah had built, came down with such power that there was absolutely no way to deny it. In fact, Elijah made sure that it couldn't be denied by putting water all around the altar. The fire came down, lapped up the sacrifice and the water. And not only did that happen, but Elijah began to pray. Remember, there had been a drought. Elijah began to pray, God, send down a rain, send down some water. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed again 7 times. Until the water began to come down. So he's seeing these wonderful things. He's seeing great signs and wonders. He's seeing an entire people turn back to the Lord. He is seeing not only fire, but he's seeing water. And it requires that he's persistent, that he prays, that he seeks God. And then this thing begins to happen. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you, or the journey is greater than you. Consider everything that Elijah saw during this great time of revival. And then consider everything that Elijah did during this great time of revival. The Bible says after he called down the fire and after he called down the water, he actually outran a chariot, a king's chariot, so that this person was doing great works, seeing great signs and wonders, working persistently as he prayed for the rain 7 times, again and again and again and again, and then outrunning the king's chariot. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God was upon him to do that. And so what you see is a man moving in the supernatural, a man moving in the miraculous. And yet you see a man who is moving too much and too fast. He gets to a place where he becomes exhausted. Oftentimes, we will do the right thing because the Lord has caused us to believe that we are who he says we are. Remember, Elijah prayed, if I am that person that you said I am, and if you've sent me, then manifest your glory. Let it be known that I am who you say I am and that you did send me. So when we begin to believe the truth that God has called us and the lies begin to become defeated, the lies that tell us that you can't do anything, you can't make a difference, you can't impact the world. When those lies begin to become defeated and truth begins to rise in us, then we go forth in truth and we begin to expose lies all around us and we begin to manifest what truth looks like, which is what Elijah did. So he prayed for the fire, and all this is being done in the context of conflict, in the context of controversy. Everything that he's trying to do, there is constantly something fighting against it. And so we see him calling down fire, and we see him calling down water, and we see him outrunning in chariots, and then eventually we see Jezebel coming. Now, this is a man who is on the brink of exhaustion. He's been working, he's been striving, he's been trying, and he's been doing everything in the supernatural. But the one thing that he didn't do in the supernatural was that he didn't rest. He worked and he worked and he worked. And he gave and he gave and he gave. And he did and he did and he did. But the one thing that he didn't do was that he didn't remember the Sabbath. Now, what I want to suggest to you today is it takes as much supernatural grace to rest as it does to work. It takes as much God's presence, God's grace, God's mercy, God's supernatural power to rest as it does to work. And so what you see in the case of Elijah is somebody who is absolutely exhausted. The Bible says that he sits under a tree and he just goes to sleep. And I get a sense that if the holy angel did not come, Elijah would have just laid there and laid there and laid there because he was exhausted. And so what happens is the angel comes to him and begins to provide for him supernatural sustenance, supernatural rest, supernatural, if you will, healing, so that he can persist in his journey. Remember, the Bible tells us that we ought never to grow weary in well-doing. And the Bible tells us to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And every command that God gives us, he gives us the grace to obey it. And I think for us as Christians, we obey a lot of commands and we do a lot of the right thing. We obey moral commands and we go forth and we do wonderful things. But I think for us, sometimes the hardest thing in the world for us to do is to rest, is to allow God to replenish us, to allow God to give us the grace to trust him so that we can go forward in this journey. So I want you to take with me into consideration the idea of God coming to Elijah and providing for him everything that he needs to continue in the journey. At first, there is this voice of Jezebel saying, everything that you did, I'm going to undo. Everything that you did, I'm going to take away from you. Remind yourself that as he's calling down fire, he can't hear that kind of talk. No matter what the Baals say, no matter what the prophets of Baals say, no matter what the king says or the queen says, he can't hear it because he's in the middle of doing something magnificent. He's in the middle of doing something wonderful. All he can hear is the voice of God ringing in his ear saying, I called you. I chose you. I have a job for you to do. I am going to be with you. That's all that he can hear. Same thing when he's crying out for the rain. Even though it at first seemed like nothing was going to happen. And he would send his servant back and forth. And of course, the Bible would say that there's a cloud, but it's so small that it's the size of a man's hand. But nothing could shake him because he was on a mission. He was doing what he knew to be right. And so he said, I don't care how small the cloud is. If God tells me that there is going to be a rain, there's going to be a rain. So he can't hear the doubts. He can't hear the fears. He can't hear because this man is exuding with truth. And he is moving in that truth. But after these wonderful things happen, the supernatural power of God is still with him. And so instead of him saying, well, look, I've seen fire and, you know, I've seen rain. I've seen that God is bringing true revival. And so let me relax a little bit. Let me get my second wind. Let me wait for the Lord to give me another direct command, or let me wait before I do something that's going to have national significance. No, what he does is he runs. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God was with him, but also understand that not everything that is supernatural is necessary. Just ask Samson. He could do a lot of supernatural stuff, but some of it was superfluous. Some of it was just too much. And there are going to be times when you and I are in revival and we sense God's presence and we know God is moving and we know that he's using us and we are already finished with whatever lies the enemy has tried to tell us that God can't use us and God has no place for us and his ministry has no reason for us. No, we're past all of that and we are moving in the call of God upon our lives, and we are impacting the world because of who God has made us to be, and we are seeing wonderful things happen, and because of that, sometimes there's a spiritual energy that says, man, I can go one more day. I can do this. I can outrun a chariot. I can do one more thing. I can go one more day. There's just one more need. There's just one more responsibility, and I can handle that too. Then he begins to hear the stuff that he couldn't hear before. He couldn't hear the lies of Jezebel before. He couldn't hear the doubts of a society before. He could only hear God, as it were, rushing through his ears, saying, I'm with you. I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to help you to do this. And the fire falls and the rain falls. And he couldn't hear anything. But now he's exhausted. Now he's tired. Now he can hear the lies. Now he can hear the threats. Now he gets this sense of disappointment, this sense of despondency, this sense of despair, this sense of, all of a sudden he is fatigued. He is physically fatigued because he outruns this chariot. He's physically tired. Because Jezebel is still in power, he's mentally and spiritually tired. He is spent. And he begins to believe a lie again. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm not making a difference. I'm not doing anything. I'm not a part of this. I'm not giving anything. And that's what happens when we overwork. The strange irony of overwork is we always feel that we are not doing enough. Even when we're exhausted, maybe I should have done more. Maybe I could have done more. I'm no better than my fathers. But the Lord comes to him. And the Lord brings him a supernatural rest. The Lord brings him a supernatural refreshing. It begins with the appearance of the angel. And what the angel and what that appearance says is, I know what Jezebel is saying. And I realize that she's saying to you that your work can be easily overturned, easily undone. I know she's telling you how powerful she is and how fruitless your labors have been, because those are the kind of things that we hear when we are fatigued, when we're exhausted. But the appearance of the angel says, no, that's not true. God is still in the midst. God is still on the move. God is still sovereign in the earth. The heaven is still his throne. The earth is still his footstool, and God can step in anytime he wants. It doesn't matter who happens to be in power. Doesn't matter what they happen to be saying. Whenever God wants to step in, he can step in. Nobody can tell him he can't come here or he can't go there. Nobody can tell him that he's not allowed here or he's not allowed there. Nobody can tell him that he's irrelevant or that he's outdated. When he wants to step in, he simply steps in. Hallelujah. And oftentimes, that's the beginning of rest for us. Because we're reminded that this is still a God thing. And that God stepped in during the time of the fire. And God stepped in during the time of the water. And God even humored him during the time of the running. But God now steps in to enforce a rest. My thesis today is it takes as much supernatural grace to rest as it does to work. And remembering the Sabbath is as miraculous as calling down fire. And so the angel steps in now and he begins to enforce a rest. And strangely enough, in this case, he begins enforcing that rest by telling Elijah to rise. Arise. He doesn't say arise and go call down more fire, or arise and go call down more water, or arise and outrun more chariots. In this case, it's arise and eat. So there is this call to come out of that place of self-pity. Come out of that place of despair and despondency. Come out of that place that suggests I have to do and do and do and do until I can't even get out of bed. Come out from that place. It is supernatural. It's one thing to feel a certain thing when you're in the midst of the battle, when you are calling down fire, when you're calling down the rains into a dry and weary land. It's another thing to sense that God is with you, to rest, to trust, to relinquish just long enough for him to feed you, long enough for him to nourish you, long enough for him to strengthen you. Remember what he said, the battle, the journey, this walk is greater than you. It's bigger than us. And so the Lord encourages him to rise. And then he looks behind him, Elijah, and he sees cakes and he sees water. And it's a picture of a person recognizing and enjoying the unexpected blessings and benefits of God's grace and mercy. Sometimes when we're working really, really hard, we forget to enjoy the little things. We forget to enjoy those unexpected pleasures. Those little things that God does to remind us that we matter to him personally. To remind us that the works that we do are not bigger than the relationship that we have with him. To remind us that he cares about the little things, that he likes to surprise us with his mercy and with his grace. He likes to get us, you know, looking behind and saying, oh my goodness, God did this for me. God prepared this for me. God made sure that in my despair and in my despondency or in my fatigue and in my tiredness, God made sure that I remember that I matter to him. Not my name, not my title, not my position, not my responsibilities, not my impact. Those things are awesome. But those things are a byproduct of a relationship. They come as a result of the fact that God loves us personally, that he knows us by our name, that when we are tired, it matters to him. When the lies are coming at us, it matters to him. And so he says to Elijah, remind yourself first and foremost that Jezebel is not the last word. When I want to step into a thing, I step into a thing. And when I want to do a thing, I do a thing. Hallelujah. Remind yourself that the Lord will nourish us to persevere. So he does this wonderful thing, surprising Elijah with his mercy, and then saying to Elijah, eat. This is a long journey. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. This is a journey. And he said, the journey is too great for you. Everything that God asks us to do is too great for us. And so we need him to supernaturally nourish us. But we can't do that if we don't stop running. When you and I begin to believe the truth, we begin to do the truth. But when we do the truth, we do it in the context of conflict. And so it is imperative that we stop and rest, stop and remember. Jesus would do that with his disciples all the time. They would go into the Garden of Gethsemane, for instance, and they would just rest. There comes a time when God says, you need to eat now. And eating has got to be done in a place of rest. There's a kind of eating that is not restful at all. We were driving down the road today and we were looking at the people that were in that marathon or whatever that thing is. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes you'll see people in a marathon and they're running and they don't stop running. They just grab a cup of water and they just keep going. You know what I mean? There are people like, you know, for us as Christians, sometimes it's that way. We say, okay, Lord, I'll eat, you know, I'll drink and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But we never stop. You know what I'm talking about? And we somehow, for some reason, we think that's a good thing. But remember the Bible says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy? The enemy has this remarkable trick, and that is he can take a command to rest and make it a work. Do you know what I mean? You remember what was happening in the Sabbath, particularly in the days that Jesus was in his mortality. And you remember how the Sabbath had become a work. There was no peace in it. But the Sabbath is supposed to be peace. So when the Lord tells us to eat, for instance, he tells us, you know, that partake of all that he's provided for us. You remember that was the very first command that God gave to humankind. Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat, or you must certainly eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat. So the first commandment, strangely enough, was a positive commandment. And then the other side of it was a negative injunction. Don't do this. In other words, don't think you're smarter than God. Right? But he said, of everything that I've provided for you, partake, eat. So now this eating should be a joy. It should be a rest. So what if I were to say part of eating, of course, is opening the word of the Lord, or part of eating is praying, or sometimes part of eating is fasting. It shouldn't be. It sounds ironic, right? You know what I mean? But that's a part of it. It shouldn't be work. It should be a joy. I'm not saying that it's not a discipline, because we have a fallen nature and sometimes we have to discipline ourselves to fast or to pray or to study and things of that nature. But what I am saying is it still should be a joy. There should be a sense of communion when I'm praying or when I'm reading the scriptures. There should be a sense of just trusting God with my life when I'm fasting, where I'm saying, God, you're my sustenance and you know how to keep me alive. There should be this rest in the bosom of Christ rather than feel like I got to read an hour a day and I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do the other thing and so on and so forth. No, there should be this sense that says, this is my sustenance. This is how I live. This is how truth continues to live in me. Otherwise, this truth that I've believed begins to be attacked, as in the case of Elijah. Woman, he said, Lord, I know that I am who you said I am. And I know that you are with me. And the fire comes down. Lord, and remember Elijah's prayer? It was a short prayer. It was short and sweet. Let it be known that you are God and that you sent me. Now Elijah is hearing from Jezebel, no, God is not God and you're not who you believe yourself to be. So the Lord pulls him aside and says, no, 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 you need to eat. Because that's how truth is sustained. Otherwise, it's going to be attacked. And in the heat of the battle, you're not going to feel the attack. You and I are like, we have a spiritual adrenaline that just keeps us from feeling the attack. But then when we pull back for half a minute, if we don't rest, then we start to hear the lie again. So say, for instance, you're going through a difficult time or whatever the case might be, but you know that you are who God said you are, and you feel an obligation to make a difference in society because you are who God has made you to be through Jesus Christ. And you come, say, for instance, to a service like this, and during that service, you're not hearing any of the lies that the enemy usually tries to tell you. You're singing, and you're clapping, and you're shouting. And, you know, say you come on a Tuesday night, and we're singing, we're clapping, we're shouting, and we're praying for people, and we're believing for the requests of, you know, right now in our church, we received on Tuesday night, you know, many people, you know, saying, hey, look, would you pray for us? So we come out and we serve and we, you know, and then sometimes you leave on a Tuesday night and all of a sudden the lies start to come out of nowhere. And sometimes the thought is, well, maybe I could just do something else. Or sometimes it's, look, I guess everything I just did and everything I just said doesn't matter, doesn't mean anything, doesn't make a difference. And that's what Elijah was saying. I've been working hard all week. I've been trying to preach, and I've been trying to pray, and I've been trying to give a tract to my neighbor. I've been trying to talk to somebody in my job, and I've been trying to raise my children right, and it just seems as though none of it matters, and I'm just so tired. Well, that's when the Bible says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember to eat. Don't think that because this is a marathon that you got to drink your water on the run. You can stop. You can sit with Jesus in Gethsemane. You can nestle your head upon his bosom like John in the days of old. You can allow him to nurture you. That's what we mean when we say eat. Let him nurture you. Let him feed you from himself so that we can be strong enough to go on the next leg of this journey. Again, there is a pacing that's necessary in this journey. That's what the angel was saying to Elijah. Pace yourself. Learn your rhythm. You ever get on one of those diets where, you know, it's completely contrary to your character? You know what I mean? And they're telling you to eat stuff that you never eat and don't eat stuff that you always eat and to do stuff that you never do. And it don't do stuff that you always do, and that kind of a thing, whether it's a diet or whether it's a workout regimen, and there's something in you that says, I can never sustain this. I'm never going, for instance, me personally, I'm never going to be a raw foodist. You know what I'm talking about? I appreciate everybody who is, but I'm not. I'm never going to be a raw foodist, you know? Every person's got to know themselves, but I can choose to be moderate in what I do. I can choose to say, you know what, I can probably do this instead of that. But I have to remind myself, look, I know me enough to know what my pace is, what my body can handle, what my mind can handle, what my spirit can handle. If I call down fire and I call down water, chances are I'm not going to try to outrun a chariot too. Because, I mean, even if the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, it doesn't mean I got to run. You understand what I'm saying? We're Christian people. The Spirit of God lives in us. There's always going to be spiritual energy to do the next thing. The question is, when do we decide? Maybe it's somebody else's job. Right? Am I right? Remember, one of Elijah's problems was he was under the impression that it was all about him. There's nobody else, Lord. I've been zealous for your name. Zealous for your name. I've been working, God. I've been pushing, God. I've been doing, God, because there ain't nobody else to help. There's nobody to whom I could pass the baton. There's nobody to whom I could say, would you do this for me today? Because I'm just tired. Somehow in Pentecost, particularly, we have outlawed being tired. Everything is about being on fire, being on fire, being on fire. I don't mind being on fire, but sometimes you got to simmer. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? We ain't got to be a blowtorch all the time, right? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I'm on simmers, you know what I mean? And I don't mind, you know what I mean? Realizing and remembering that this is an army. This is a family. And every one of us has our responsibilities. And sometimes you pass the baton this way, sometimes you pass the baton that way. But the bottom line is it's not just you or me. It is us. And I think, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I think Elijah's problem was he forgot that. His zeal was good. It just wasn't right, if that makes sense. He was zealous for God's house, but he was wrong in the idea that he was the only one. So he felt like he's got to be the one to call down the fire, and he's got to be the one to call down the water, and he's got to be the one to outrun the chariot, and so on and so forth. And then he finds himself alone. I mean, even when he goes out to pray or to sleep initially under the tree, he left his servant behind. You and I have got to remind ourselves that there is a godly zeal. And then every now and again, there is a kind of zeal that says, I'm godly, but nobody else. Elijah had to be brought to the mountain. And he had to see that God had many people beside him. And that God was working both in the secular realm to cause his will to be done, setting up kings as he chooses and doing what he wants. That God is sovereign over the hills and over the valleys. God is sovereign in the church and in the world. Everything ultimately has got to answer to him. That God had a friend for him, somebody who would stand with him, that kind of a thing. And every single one of us can be absolutely certain that there's somebody that God has. And some people in this house, I don't want to get into a whole new sermon because I got to close, but there's some in this house who are single and you wonder, is there anybody that can help me? Do I have to do everything alone? Do I have to carry the load by myself? God has somebody for you. God has somebody for you. He has a spouse for you. But in the meantime, there's somebody that you can trust. He has a friend. Somebody who will help you to carry the load. Somebody who will pray with you. Somebody who will believe with you. Somebody who will go out and do ministry with you. The Bible says we ought to do ministry, you know, a couple at a time. That's where Jesus sent out his disciples. I want to pray with you this morning. But it's one of those kind of prayers where you've got to be really, really honest with the Lord and honest with yourself. And the question is, are you tired? Are you growing weary in well-doing? Has your zeal outpaced your commission? Because that's what happened, I think, with Elijah. His zeal outpaced his commission. His zeal outpaced his calling. His zeal outpaced his responsibility. his zeal outpaced what God actually wanted him to do. God didn't leave him. God even helped him to run. But once he had run, he was exhausted. And even then, God didn't leave him. God appeared to him, and God fed him, and God nurtured him, and God comforted him. God strengthened him. God gave him friends, and God sent him out again. But I'll tell you the truth, I've been tired. And I've grown weary in well-doing, and I've tried to do things beyond what God had asked me to do. And I've tried in zeal to do those things that transcended my call. And over the last such and such amount of years, the Lord has caused me to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And there are plenty of times when I see a need and I just want to run. And God says, no. I got 7,000 beside you. You know what I mean? There's plenty of people that can do the work. And so if you just need a reminder, you just need to eat a little bit. You need to rest a little bit. You need to be reminded that even though the Spirit of God is with you, you can't do everything. And you just want to nestle your head on the bosom of the Lord. Remember, this is a rest, so you're not going to make him a whole bunch of promises. From now on, I'm going to stop doing this and stop doing this and start doing that and start doing... My goodness, you know what I'm talking about? That's what the enemy tries to do with rest. He tries to twist it and convolute it. So you're not going to do that. You're just going to come and nestle your head on his bosom. And that's all. If God is speaking to you, and you just want to rest on him for a little bit, let's stand in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to come to the front of this auditorium. Whether you're on the main floor, balcony, if you're with us via the annex, or you're in North Jersey, if you're with us online, just stand up. All you're going to do is in your mind's eye, in your heart, you're going to nestle your head upon the bosom of God. You're not going to make him any promises. You're not going to tell him that you're going to stop doing stuff from now on. You're going to stop doing, you know, you're going to stop overworking. You're going to stop doing, because that's just another work. You're just going to nestle your head on his bosom. That's all. And he's going to do something supernatural, because it takes as much supernatural grace to rest as it does to work. We'll wait for you, and then we'll pray together in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. It is a joy always to know how much God loves you, how much it means to him. The greatest work that you and I could ever do is to rest, to nestle our head upon his bosom, and to say to him, Lord, I know that you can be trusted. And I know that whatever I do, it's enough for you. That two mites we might hear about this afternoon that I give, I know that's enough for you. Might not be as much as the next person, maybe more than the next person, but what I give, I know is enough. Remind yourself, brothers and sisters, your Father loves you, and you matter to him more than anything you could possibly do. Holy Spirit of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that your hand is upon this community, your hand is upon this people. Lord, our prayer to you is keep our zeal pure. Lord, if our zeal says that there's nobody but us, or if our zeal is on fire one day and ready to just give up the next, Lord, we know that there's something that needs to be tweaked, something that needs to be refined. So we're asking you, help us. We simply nestle our head upon your bosom. We say there's no greater work that we can do than to trust you. Well, we remember one person comes and says, what work must I do to inherit the kingdom? He said, believe in me. So we believe you, Lord. I pray for everyone in this room and everyone who's with us online, Lord, everyone, Jesus. A special blessing, a supernatural blessing. This supernatural power to rest, to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Help us to be nourished, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be empowered, to be embraced, so that we can go forth, O Jesus, and do what you've called us to do. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Let your name be lifted up in every heart. Jesus, bring peace, a supernatural peace. 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 Supernatural peace that passes understanding. We thank you for it, O Jesus. And we bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.